This episode is brought to you by the ghost of Skeet Ulrich. Woo!
Is this a metal thing?
Yes.
Taste.
David!
David!
David, what is this?
Tiny vagina.
Oil me up, Daddy.
I can't believe the Bryce prefers
big tits.
Mistletoe alert.
This is butt country.
I mean, this guy was a real jerk.
How long can Hugo being pregnant?
Chomp, 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 chomp.
Oh, you're such a dick, David.
Okay, everybody, put on your corpse handling gloves.
Ew.
Hoodie Picasso.
You know, I mean, hello and welcome to Horror Movie Talk. We have a great episode for you guys today. Your panel of expert hosts this week and every week are Dr. Bryce Hansen, who holds a PhD in spookology. That's him over there. A little out of focus. Oh, he's back. And me, Professor David Day. I'm the foremost expert in scare no-nos. Thank you. New theatrical releases get priority, and that is proof of that today. We will be reviewing Scream 6. That's right. Jason Takes Manhattan. I mean,
Ghostface takes
does.
Manhattan.
Yeah,
Ghostface takes Manhattan. Mm-hmm.
No, you've never heard that joke before. Hey, you know,
we're so original.
I was thinking about it. YouTube's all like, hey, you can cuss again. And if it's in your intro, if it's in music, no problem. But I'm thinking, they can't be allowing the words that we have in our intro. They just can't. I mean, right? They do not expect big honk and a tiny honk. They just don't.
Well, technically, the latter is just the correct terminology.
Correct. Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, well, first, not a bad word. I don't think it's a bad word.
I hope that we get edited with fart sounds. That's what I hope. I really like, because when it says big toots and a tiny vagina, I mostly just want to hear toots. Okay, anyway. So anyway, Scream 6. Before we get into it, if you want to check us out, head over to our website, horrormovietalk.com. From there, links to all the things. We have a bunch of new patrons that I gotta pull up. Patreon. There it is. I gotta pull this up because we had a bunch of new people join supporting us, and I gotta thank them. We got a little bit of a backlog here. We got Joel L., we got Brian C., we got Eric N., Brandon M., Corey S., Victor G., and Renee K. Hey, thank you all you guys so much, and gals, probably, maybe. Don't know. I can't know
we
your
gotta,
pronouns.
We got to ask for pronouns in our Patreon.
I can't know your pronouns from this distance.
Right.
I'm too far away. Oh, look who it is. Oh, it's pregnant Hayden Panettiere. There she is.
She's carrying Ghostface's baby.
She's so pretty. She's glowing. Radiant. Check us out on YouTube. YouTube, what's up? We post new episodes every single... Boy, I know we have this somewhere. I just don't know where it is.
It is Wednesday, my dudes.
We do post those every Wednesday. If you want to call us, get a hold of us, let us know what you think of this movie and how wrong we are, because we get things wrong all the time. We are not infallible. We're extremely fallible.
Yeah,
call
possible.
Us at 682-253-4468. Start out by giving a brief review and our score for the movie. We score on a scale 1 to 10. You know how that works. 5 is just average. And then we get into spoilers. So, you know, if you want to go see this in theaters, if you're a big Ghostface fan, if you're a big Scream fan, probably, you know, give it a pause before we get into spoilers. Or not, because I don't know that I can spoil this for you. Honestly,
well, I mean,
just,
the only thing really to spoil is is the killer. That's what is spoilable
Bryce,
in
Scream. I don't possess the ability to spoil this.
I'm kind of curious about that, of whether you actually got to the part where it revealed who
Ghostface
was.
I did. I got through that part. You'll hear that story as we go. Later in this episode, we will be doing a little bit of horror movie whores, and then after this, hopefully, we'll record a bonus episode of that where we get to your voice calls. Kat, you need to quiet down.
We're doing it in both? We're not just doing it as a separate episode?
I mean, there are so many. I figured we get 5 or 6 out of the way on this episode and then get through the hour of calls on the bonus episode. Anywho. Uh-oh, I have a burp upcoming. Would it be better if there was a fart sound covering my burp?
Okay. Yes.
We went and saw Scream 6 and were impressed with this incredibly fresh new take on the otherwise stale state of slashers in 2023. You can go and watch this right now in theaters. I advise you to definitely do that, especially if you're a Scream fan. And everybody knows Scream is like the coolest slasher franchise to be a fan of. So the synopsis for this movie goes a little something like this. A year after the events of Scream 2022, where the Woodsboro murders decimated the group of plucky, woke high school students, we find ourselves in college in New York City.
New York City?
What? Yeah, no, don't eat that salsa. In a
ironically starring Jenna Ortega.
Mm-hmm. You know. Yeah. What are you trying to say?
I mean, I prefer Jenna Pace Picante, personally.
Canceled. In a super weird turn of fate, our young heroines, Sam Carpenter, played by Melissa Barrera, and her sister Tara, played by Jenna Pace Picante, are being stalked by none other than Ghostface himself. As the friend group pulls together to try to figure out who the new killer might be, they also become suspicious of each other. As it turns out, this killer follows the rules of horror movie tropes and could easily be one of their closest friends, if these stab movies are to be believed, that is. Will the friends figure out who the new killer is? Will Ghostface say some quippy lines? Who will be stabbed? And who will come out on top? My review for Scream 6 goes like this. I just asked a bunch of cliffhanger questions at the end of my synopsis, and Scream is known for its meta takes and twists. Well, here's a meta twist for you. I don't give a shit at all who comes out on top. I stopped caring about Scream the moment the second movie started in 1997. It's always a slightly diminished crew of last year's protagonists looking at each other and figuring out what movie trope they're breaking that will get them killed. If only Ghostface would just hop off the screen and do me, so I don't have to sit through another one of these cash grab installments. Is Scream 6 bad? No, it's fine. It's fan service. But everything is fan service now. Fan service has replaced originality in favor of safety. Do you want safety? Is that what you really want? Yes. As it turns out, you do. Or at least that's what your wallet says when you go and pay to see the new Scream or Halloween Ends or The Purge 8 Unlimited Bulimia. Sometimes you just need some nostalgia, though, in your life. You know, you need it. And that is what this is. It's not going to blow you away or make you wish there were more Scream movies. It's going to pelt you with member berries. Remember?
Well, what's weird about it is it's not... I don't get the sense that, like, the Halloween and Scream movies of late are, like, 100% relying on their laurels and trying to just do fan service. I think they're also making a legitimate effort to bring in the younger crowd into it. And that's always the hardest part of a franchise.
Yeah, just groping around in the dark to do that, though, I feel.
Yeah, because,
like,
I mean, the original Scream was a cultural phenomenon, and that's not something that you can just recreate in a sequel.
Right. It's the antithesis of what a sequel is.
Yeah, so I think given that, the meta nature of the Scream series, I think they did pretty well to, you know, round it out and comment on the franchise as a whole. But yeah, it's kind of like you can't really recapture, you know, that lightning in a bottle essence that was the first one.
I will say,
and the other thing that we've said before, I think on the last Scream, you know, reboot episode, was Scream was so impactful because it was the first like real meta horror, and every horror movie now is basically a ripoff of Scream, to where everyone's commenting on, don't separate. Oh, I'm the black guy. I'm going to get killed first. There's a whole, trailers are just,
trope.
Yeah, trailers are just people commenting about how they're in a horror movie right now.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, maybe, should roll it back and try to make it actually believable. Like, people don't always assume they're in a horror movie in a horror movie. No. I don't know.
It's a sticky situation that can really only be solved by making something new and interesting. I will say that this version of Ghostface might be the strongest in my memory, even if my memory is for this kind of thing is pretty bad. He's wiry and powerful and frantically hateful. His acts of violence are gruesome and gross. Ew. I don't like it. And that's what I like. Is things that I don't like. The reveal at the end of Scream 6 is a prime example of more is better syndrome. Can this be topped? Only if the killer in Scream 7 is the early 90s version of the monster truck named Bigfoot.
It's revealed that Ghostface is actually the Undertaker from WWE.
Yeah, as long as you don't expect much, Scream 6 is a movie. I score this a 5 out of 10. This is a movie, you know. It is a studio big budget Hollywood movie that is a sequel, requel. A sequel to the requel.
Mhm. Yeah.
Going to fucking hate that take, by the way. I hear
it's
you.
It's 5 out of 10?
Yeah, I mean, I hear you. You liked it. I get it. I didn't. This is not for me. This is for you.
I mean,
who's angry right now.
Yeah, I'm right in line with you. I give it a 5 out of 10 as well. It is a movie. It's fine. Like, I think it's suffering from, again, like trying to recreate a core cast that you care about, and it's just kind of hard to do.
Yeah.
I do appreciate that they're like trying to move on from the original cast, and there's only like a couple.
Got one finger holding on to that ledge, just like
right. Courtney Cox is like,
she's like, I will not let go.
Get.
You see my face right now? This is where the tears would be if I could cry, but I can't. Botched facelift.
Yeah, and they finally like just like didn't bother with really including Sydney at all. Where it's like, oh yeah, Sydney just called. What? You're okay? Oh, that's good.
Oh, okay.
Hang up. So it's not so Sydney focused. Which is, you know, which is good. They have to. I mean, they're not gonna be able to rely on her forever. But yeah. It doesn't quite recapture it. It's okay. I think the actual like attack scenes, there's a lot of really good set pieces, and I think the finale is pretty good. I think the ending is pretty good. It's just really weighed down by really bad drama in the middle. Like, it's just a lot of filler that's not super compelling to me, where they're trying to set up like this weird dilemma of the main character. Maybe she's psychotic. It could be her. I don't know. Is she going to be a killer? And I'm just like, I don't care. Can we just get to stabbing? Can we see some more stabbing, please? Like, yeah. It's been, check my watch, like, it's been about 40 minutes since the last stabbing. Can we move on with this? So it kind of gets weighed down by the drama that's just not actually that engaging, you know, and it takes itself a little too seriously, and it's not quite goofy enough. So I don't know. It's just all right for me, dog.
Yeah. So you're giving it a 5 as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, it's really, it's interesting because like the first Scream was notable, because it came out with a new structure, you know, a new, fresh, interesting,
right.
Bones for a horror movie. So interesting and new that it's been done to death. You know, everybody has done it a million times. Like you said, every horror movie is this now. And now the thing that is weighing this series franchise down the most is the rigid adherence to this ridiculous structure that you need to continue to perpetuate over and over and over, but make it bigger, more amazing. You know, like bigger monster trucks. They will crush cars.
Bigger monster. This one does a flip.
And it's like, okay, well, like it was amazing to me when I was 5, but now I don't care. That monster truck crushed my car. By the way, I need a monster truck out here to crush my car. I think my head gasket on my Prius is blown, Bryce. This is a real Scream moment. If you want to make a movie that scares David to death, head gasket problems.
Yeah, just like start having a car where its engine starts knocking. Oh shit! No,
I got a buddy out here who's a diesel mechanic and just like knows his shit. You know, like is intimately familiar with engines. And I sent him a 30-second video of what the engine is doing, and he goes, "You're completely fucked."
Oh.
I was like, is there okay. any? He's like, nope. There is no hope. You are fucked. And I was like, well, guess what? We haven't sold the other car yet. I priced it too high. So am I really? Ha-ha! He's like, yeah, you're not going to. That car's dead. Anyway. Head gasket problems. The Scream 7. No, you know, and you know, I mean, it's just a matter of time before the Scream movies start becoming the stab movies. You know, the movies parodied in Scream as Scream will just be titled Stab, and instead of the killer being unveiled as a person, it'll be a Graboid. You know, it'll be Tremors. You know. It'll be the another movie series has come into this movie series to come get it. You know, it'll be Jaws. Ow.
Yeah.
A huge bite was taken out of this person.
Yeah. You take off the ghost face mask and it's just another ghost face mask underneath.
Whoa. Oh, no. And it's just Russian dolls.
Yeah, a Russian nesting doll.
The nesting dolls of until you just keep taking masks off of them.
Just a real tiny ghost face.
Oh, no, it's a very small ghost face. It's not a big ghost face at all. Right. It was a small ghost face. Hey, guys, I want to say thank you so much for supporting the show. By listening to it, by clicking the Amazon link, by becoming patrons, by subscribing on YouTube, whatever you do, if you're listening to me, thank you so much. We are bigger than we've ever been. And that's a big deal to me and to Bryce, and we couldn't have done it without you. So thank you from the bottom of my heart. We really appreciate you, listening, watching, reaching out, talking to us on social media. If you want to talk about something, hit us up. And to do that, you know, click all the links on our website. And if you're listening to these commercials, you should know you don't have to. I got you. I got you with thanks. You can head on over to our Patreon where we give tons and tons of extra bonus content every single week. We got the Afterpod. We got early releases for the reviews. We got all, we got voting for which movie you want, all that kind of stuff. Check it out over there, patreon.com/horrormovietalk. You want to buy a shirt, we got a couple different kinds of shirts on our website, Team Bat versus Team Spear. We got our logo tee. We got to get some more tees on there. And a fucking bunch of stickers, holographic stickers, all kinds of stickers. That's at horrormovietalk.com/shop. And finally, check out our resident artist, the old DG, the old dick giver, Dustin Goble. He's a professional artist who fucks real hard. He also takes commissions, your commissions, for artwork from HMT fans. Contact him on Instagram at dgoebel00. That's at dgoebel00 on Instagram. Make your artistic dreams come true. Tell him we sent you. He said some real nice stuff to me last night, and I just like him. He's a nice
He messaged
guy.
Me, too, because he was like, I always say the nice things to Dave, and I just wanted to let you know you guys are great. I'm like, oh, thank you.
That's he delightful. Said it that way?
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah, he's just like.
Because you realized, know what he said to me?
What? Did he say the same thing to you?
I always say the nice things to Bryce.
He played us. That bastard. He hasn't been saying nice things to either one of us.
Oh, son of a bitch.
First time he's ever said something.
Well, thanks again for listening. And let's get into spoilers. Where do I do this even? Spoilers, Bryce, spoilers. It wasn't Hayden Panettiere at all. It was Dot from A Bug's Life. That was, I think, her first big role. That was a their Pixar movie role. That was Hayden.
There you go.
Yeah. There
Hayden Panettiere or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, she's one of these, like, it girls of the moment that just passed me by. It was like, oh, man, Hayden Panettiere is just the hottest girl ever. I'm like, I have no idea who that is. Mm. She was like the it girl for a couple years, and I just don't.
Yeah.
It's just like, okay.
Yeah. This is what happens when you get old.
You know who the it girl now is, though?
Who?
Jenna Ortega.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. It's because of that dance she did.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
On that tick-tick?
On the tick-tick.
Yeah.
That's Wednesday Addams.
Yeah. She's over there.
She's pretty thick.
Yeah, she's pretty thick. No, wait.
She's
no,
on
she's
SNL tonight, actually.
So, it's a little problematic that, that these girls are so skinny, is it not? Is that really the thing we want to be promoting? I thought we were about body positivity, you know?
Is she skinny? She's just tiny. She's like, I wonder if they say what her stats
are. She's like
are
Dot. On. Like Dot.
Oh, man.
Do we really want to promote?
She's got to be like 5'6 or something like that.
Do we really want to promote that anything is better than anything at all ever?
Jenna Ortega.
I'm going to say no.
5'1. She's 5'1".
Uh-huh. And?
That's very small. It's one of those things where, like, you can't even hide it on screen. Like, it's so obvious, like, how short she is compared to the other actors.
Mm.
Let me find this.
Do you think Ghostface ever would be Dot from A Bug's Life?
Maybe. Yeah, look at this. Look how tiny she is.
They pull off the mask of Ghostface, and Dot's like, I'm gonna fuck your whole family. Ah! No?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right. Well,
I was like looking forward to like what if they unmasked Ghostface and it was Jenna Ortega the whole time, and they just kind of gloss over the fact that for the whole film it's been like a 6'2" character, and all of a sudden
it's like the Jason hand, yeah, uh-huh. Like on the Friday the 13th, the first one, where it's, I mean. Listen, spoilers. Those are big spoilers for Friday the 13th, but it weren't Jason, the first one, you know, it were his mom. But mm-hmm. nevertheless, halfway through the movie, you get this big man hand come in and be mm-hmm. like, rah, that's not exactly the biggest hand, but you can ask my dick how big my hand is.
yeah, I mean, I got to say, it's a real like detriment to self-esteem to have very large, meaty hands, you know. Just because it makes other things look very small.
Dude, I was thinking about this last night. I can't remember why. I think we were watching some fucking show. Yeah, we were watching Poker Face. And the first episode, oh, by the way, fucking fabulous. Like,
yeah,
Adrian Brody, you forget how good he is. Like, he is good. Anyway, he's a guest actor in the first episode. And they're these long, like, movie-sized episodes. They're like an hour and a half. Anyway.
Yeah, I heard they're basically like a remake of Columbo with Natasha Lyonne or whatever.
Yeah.
Her name is.
Yeah, it's like Columbo mixed with Tarantino a little bit. Anyway, was watching that, and there was a reference to, you know, to dick pics. It occurred to me, I have never taken a dick pic. And can you imagine a situation where your head is in a spot where you're like, it's a good idea for me to take a picture of this thing? This is happening. This is the best song ever made. Is this Neil Cicciaraga? Why did you stop? Keep it going. What are you doing? You're killing my vibe.
We'll be right back.
Okay, I think there's a
so
new
anyway,
rule.
Scream 6.
I think there's a new rule on Horror Movie Talk where if Adrian Brody's ever mentioned, we have to play through the entire Brody Quest song and just stop the entire episode to do that. I was thinking as I was dancing to Adrian Brody and had Bug or Dot behind me from A Bug's Life, I was thinking, this is a horror movie review show. What even is this? We're transcending.
Imagine there's going to be new people that are like brand new to Horror Movie Talk that are like, oh, good, a commentary on Scream 6. I'm really curious how good it is.
That was maybe the most fun I've ever had on Horror Movie Talk. I'm just saying. Okay. It's just good. People like when we have fun.
Uh-huh. What
the fuck is that? Okay.
Adrian Brody.
So, spoilers for Scream 6. It starts off with Samara Weaving. Crazy, right? New Scream Queen, that we deemed her that back in 2019. We were like, this bitch is the new Scream Queen? When she was in, what's that, Ready or Not?
Yeah.
And she's great. Of course, it sticks to the Scream. Should we just stop the episode? I feel like, how is it ever going to live up to that? That was the peak of the whole, we fucked up. We peaked 2023 way too early. March? Ugh. Yeah, so they have to stick to, you know, killing Drew Barrymore at the start, so instead they kill Samara Weaving. I remember that. Yeah. Oh no. It's happening again.
Okay.
Oh. I like how it creeps in. We're definitely playing out with that, I tell you what. Oh my god. Adrian Brody. Yeah, they meet it, you know, she's meeting a student at the bar for some suspicious reason. Is this what Zoomers do? They meet their teachers at the bar to fuck? Oh, no, no. He's not a... I don't think that's
necessarily a new thing. I gotta say, like, I like the... It's a pretty strong opening. Like if you can say one thing about Scream, about the series, like they make it a point to make the openings really good.
It was a great opening, as is evidenced by the fact that, it was one of the best openings ever in 1996.
Well, no, I'm talking about opening scenes, not the opening weekend.
Yeah, no, I'm saying the same thing. It's the exact same opening as Scream 1996. It's just member berries.
I mean, it's not exactly the same, but I mean, it's the same gimmick that you're answering the call, but it's not in someone's house. But
a beautiful girl is being stalked by a killer, answers her phone, is baited out. And then we never see her again. She's arguably one of the biggest stars on the movie, you know, and she's killed immediately. You know, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I thought it was pretty good. I mean, the double fake out of the opening is that the killers get killed. Like that was the most impressive thing to me. It was like, oh, it just turns around and it immediately kills the person that's revealed as the killer. Because you thought they were going to be like, oh, no, this time we tell you exactly who the killer is. And they're like, just kidding.
Really? See, I'm just not into it enough to care. You know, I'm just sitting there like, yeah, okay. Now they're showing it. Like, it didn't even cross my mind that it was like a fake out. I was just like, okay. Because, you know, you've seen all of them and they just keep doing these. I don't know. It just feels like. I'm just the wrong guy for this franchise. I'm just all jaded about it. Look, here's what I will say about the franchise. Like, Ghostface, he's a fucking hottie. Okay? He's physically adept.
David just wants someone to choke him. Is what it comes down to.
And he has that big honking knife. You know, and he's just stabbing it so hard.
Dude, he doesn't want to be penetrated.
He does not care about the tip of that knife at all. He's bashing it into the ground. Like, I just had my knives sharpened. And I'm like, gotta be careful with that, buddy. He's like, this is a military grade. It's like, he doesn't care.
Yeah, he's the type of guy that chops an onion and then scrapes the cutting edge over the board to scrape the onions into the pan.
Yeah, he throws like, caution to the wind. Yeah, yeah.
And
yeah,
that's why he always loses, you know?
Dulling up that knife. But
wouldn't
it
be great if there was one scream where Ghostface was just really dumb? Where it was just the guy from Human Centipede 2, just really inept at being Ghostface, even though he's obsessed with him. It's like, oh, I'm scary. It's like, Bill, we know it's you. Stop it or I'm going to call the police.
That's a great idea, but I'm a little taken aback by your comparison to the guy from Human Centipede 2.
I mean, the guy from Human Centipede 2 is effective, but it's also like, it's almost like he lucks out too much.
Yeah.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
He's obviously very dumb and very like inept and somehow makes it work.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, actually it's interesting that you mentioned Human Centipede 2 because that's one of the biggest modern takes on this meta commentary thing, which is the guy in Human Centipede 2 literally watched Human Centipede 1 and is obsessed with the first movie and therefore goes to recreate the Human Centipede in his flat. You know, it's like, wow. Yeah, I mean, that's just evidence. Like, you could literally throw a movie out of your mouth and get a comparison to the Scream franchise. That's how fucked up it is.
Well, I mean, one of the movies that's coming up is The Blackening. Have you seen that? Or
I
actually reached out to us to see if we...
with the studio that we've had. I've had some emails with the studio for that. What's that about?
But it has a pretty great trailer, but it's basically like Scream for black people. Like it's all the horror tropes with an all black cast.
Mm. Tyler Perry's Scream.
Well, let's not be insulting, but
Tyler
it's very
Perry
much
gave
like
me such a good deal on that. He made it so cheap for me, I couldn't say no. I don't want to be in that tube with those demons. You want to talk about meta takes? There we go. We're going meta on this episode.
But yeah, I mean, every year there's like a Scream ripoff in terms of meta horror. And like there's only a couple that have been meta horror and have done it uniquely. And that's like, you know, Tucker and Dale or
Weirdly
Cabin
enough,
in the Woods.
Ready or Not.
Ready or Not.
You know, with Samara Weaving who got stabbed. God, she's got that Australian accent.
Well, no, is Ready or Not. How is that meta? I mean, that was felt like its own thing.
I'm going to be honest with you, Bryce. I don't know what that word means. I'm just trying to connect dots here. I'm just an old millennial fumbling my way through a movie theater, finding a seat, sitting down, acting like I know what's going on. But really, I don't have any idea.
Well, anything that breaks the fourth wall and like winks at itself, or the genre, or the tropes of the... You just have a blank look on your face. Maybe we should move on.
Okay. Yeah, so...
This is what's in David's head right now, as he's thinking about it.
Okay, so... So, yeah, the killer of Samara Weaving has maybe the grossest dialogue that I can recall in this series, where he's like, you know, I stabbed her and she just started, at one point she just stopped feeling like a human and started feeling like meat. And that's actually a lane in the Scream franchise that I can appreciate for how gross and depraved it can get, because the things he says are just vile.
Uh-huh.
You know, as a horror movie review show, we don't we don't dwell on these really gross things because we see it so much. We kind of get it. We kind of get it out of our heads that it's like, you know, it's, it stops affecting us so much because we're all the way we are. But it was really gross, the things he said. And I'm very glad that he promptly got killed. And that, you're right. I think that was a good way. It felt like a good start to the movie. And then you get to see Wednesday Addams in there, and you're like, do the dance. she just won't do the dance. And then that's where the movie really starts to peter off a little bit, because they just keep showing her, and she keeps talking, and everybody else keeps talking, and there's no stabbing. And then, man, you're 2 hours in. So I don't know what I mean, I think they did a good job of cast.
I think so. I mean, again, I think the opening was really strong, and I think it was even kind of a wink to the Halloween reboot franchise, where they're like, no, we're going to have the creepy worn down and cracked mask in this one because, you know, homage. I wish they would have commented on that directly. Said, like, oh, he's got, what is this guy? Michael Myers or something?
Halloween 2018 over here.
Yeah, the cast is fine. You know, it has like kind of the similar tropes and you know, it has the device throughout the movie is like trying to guess who the killer is from the obvious clues or the obvious like tropey choices. And so stuff like the roommate that was, you know, very sex positive, I was like, oh, she's the killer, obviously, you know.
Yeah, and then they,
because anytime they make someone seem cool, yeah, and then they killed her,
and they're like, well, can't be her.
Yeah, and spoilers, it was,
but it wasn't just her.
And then
she worked with a partner, Bryce.
Yeah, and then Dylan McDermott came, and he was, like, obviously sounded exactly like the voice on the phone. I was like, well, he's got to be the killer.
Oh, Dylan McDermott. Yeah. Well, yeah, he sounded exactly like the voice on the phone. I noted that as well. Was that that wasn't him, though, was it? That wasn't Dylan McDermott.
No, it wasn't. Sorry, it was Dermot Mulroney.
Are you serious? Is that
his name? I'm serious. I wasn't intentionally got his name wrong. There's a great SNL skit from like the 2000s with a, or I think it had Bill Hader in it. It was like, had like a, it was a game show, and it had three of the black cast as the contestants, and it says, you have to determine whether this is a picture of Dylan McDermott or Dermot Mulroney. It's one of the fun. We'll find it for the afterpod, but it's pretty hilarious.
Look the same. There was a little Easter egg in there. There was a poster in Jason, you know, the first killer's apartment that was a Last Podcast on the Left poster. I was like, Jesus Christ, whose dick do I gotta suck to get our poster up on his wall? Fucking Last Podcast on the Left over here coming in.
You want to tell him about the text you sent me last night?
What was it?
Of the stalker attack. I mean, it's very tragic.
Okay, in Washington State, which is the state that Bryce and I live in.
Don't tell him that.
I mean, oh! There was a podcast host and her husband who were shot and killed by a stalker. And, I mean, like, look. Props. If your podcast is good enough. Wait.
Don't bring this down on us.
Look, all I'm saying is, in any article I'm looking at, this bitch died for her podcast, and they won't even drop the name to help the ratings. I can't find the name of the fucking podcast.
Right?
Like, that's so absolutely, like, that is putting dirt, no respect on her name. Like,
I know.
Could you share the fucking podcast name?
I know she had an untimely death. Had an untimely death, but I mean, come on, let's help their charitable.
Yeah. Like, I mean, I guess she's not survived by anyone. It's not like that. The ratings are going to help necessarily.
Well, that's the thing. She survived by her podcast. That's where you should have sympathy.
Dude, that's so fucking creepy. Yeah. But, you know.
Sorry, to derail the podcast. Mm.
No, this is meta.
How did that affect you personally?
It was upsetting.
Did you have a step back moment where you're like,
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, how about you?
No. Like, I don't read that and say, like, well, that could happen to me any more than, like, I think about that already. Of, like, yeah, there's a chance that there will be a crazy person that is a huge fan of our show and reaches out to us and starts going crazy. I have the benefit of not having a vagina, so that's, like, a huge win in terms of being stalked and murdered. But, you know, there's always a chance.
Run, boy! Run! Run for your life!
Boy!
Yeah, I'm going to tell you, man. You're making some sense. Maybe we should stop the podcast.
No. We have to go on for our stalkers. I mean, really, that's what would bring down the most harm to us, is if we have a stalker and then stop. Now, then they would have to try to come and get us.
I don't know. You're making me worried. Yeah, I don't know. I will say, okay, so back to the movie. There's a moment in the start where Ghostface gets a hold of a sawed off shotgun. And I was like, this is the movie. this is the coolest shit I've ever seen. Like, suddenly it turned into The Town with Ben Affleck. And I'm like, right. God damn, this is the fucking cool. Like, that moment where Ghostface has guns, I'm like, yes, this is the obvious, like, meld Scream with a true action movie. Like,
oh man, just, yeah, go like Scream 7, Sniper Ops. Just,
I'm telling
just
you,
just have Ghostface have a sniper, have a 50 caliber from, you know, 150 yards away, calls you on the phone.
He shoots,
like,
knives out of it. And they just eviscerate people from a distance. That could be the tagline. Evisceration from 150 yards. I swear to God, it is not a bad concept. I would fucking watch a movie where Ghostface walks around with a fucking sawed-off shotgun and is just Terminator. You know, like, I'd be like, yeah, this is an awesome movie. Like, as soon as I saw that, there was something that happened in my brain where I was like, oh. Like, I was very interested suddenly. And I was
it'd be great if, like, Ghostface was like, just looked down the shotgun and was like, oh, this is way better.
Why didn't I use this? Way
easier.
So much better. And the people like it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, he, like, looks at the screen and does a little Deadpool aside, and he's like, hell yeah! You know, like, that'd be great. Oh, man, Ghosty with a gun.
I'm telling you, Ghostface with a sniper rifle would be the most terrifying thing. It's like, because you know he's watching you, and you know he's around, but you're safe until he appears, you know, even if he ambushes you. But if he's watching you with a sniper scope, then you're always in danger, David.
Yeah, there's just always laser pointers on you.
That, I mean, it's weird. Where do you go with Scream? And I was like, what if the next movie is like, there's actually like a baker's dozen of Ghostface.
I know. That's why
it's just
said
every single person in the cast and side character and like hobo on the street is actually Ghostface, and it's just the protagonist that's not. You're like, oh shit,
Yeah, it's that's why I said it's just got to be a Grabloid next time.
Right.
You know, it's got maybe it should be Jason. Like, right. Wouldn't that be meta? Like, why wouldn't you make it another character?
Take off the ghost face mask. It's just Michael Myers underneath.
Right.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, no. This is much worse. I didn't realize the whole time that I was actually running from a killer that's another killer. Yeah. Maybe you should be an alligator. I don't know. You know, make it interesting. Okay, look, I really don't know what else to say about this movie.
Yeah, I mean, so the thing to say about this movie, like, it makes a commentary on itself being part of a franchise. And,
right.
like, the rules of being in a franchise, of being bigger and better and whatnot. And I wish that they had adhered to that more like the Fast and Furious franchise versus slasher movies, where it just... I wish it just eventually melds into the most ridiculous thing.
Yeah.
That's not even reflects none of the original.
Yeah, like
where you're like, "Oh yeah, remember Ludacris, how he owned a garage?"
Yeah.
And had a couple of mechanics.
I'm getting excited.
Tweak some racers.
Yeah.
And then you skip a couple movies and now he's hacking into the CIA.
Yeah. No, like
Ghost. No commentary in the middle of how that actually happened. It's just like, no, this is what it is now.
Like Ghostface's, like his costume is now like, is like Apple Fleck, painted. You know, it's got uh-huh. it's got sparkles in it, and it's got like speed stripes, and it's got like neon lights coming out the bottom of it.
Ghostface, you know, with
spinners. He's got a V6. He's got a V6 coming out of his back.
And he jumps
and he's
through.
Like, vroom, vroom. And he's got monster truck wheels, and he's actually Bigfoot from 1992.
And he jumps across skyscrapers to attack.
And he's actually in the Matrix.
Right. Yeah.
He's Neo. It's just like, yeah, what are you going to do?
I mean, I think that they try in terms of like being a little more like having the drama and the psychological aspect and of like having it uncertain of whether the main character, Samantha, be like, you know, borderline schizophrenic,
mm-hmm.
where they're trying to like have the meta commentary or like reflect what the successful horror genre of today is, which skews more towards psychological thriller, you know, and uncertainty and, you know, character studies things, but they just don't go all in. It's like just such a minor, plot point where it doesn't actually come to affect anything at all. And that's the same way they treat it in the last movie too, where it's like, well, she's hallucinating poor man's Johnny Depp all the time, so maybe she's the killer? I don't want to go into this anymore. Let's move on. Let's have more stabbings. It's just like, what's the point?
Yeah.
Is the point that eventually she's going to be the killer and then we'll surprise no one? I don't know. I don't know what the point of that is.
Listen, by the way, just aside. Look, if you love this movie, I love that. And I have nothing against that. I will admit that this movie is just not for me. And it, you know, that's okay. I like other stuff.
It's all right. It's a 5 out of 5. I don't know why you're worried. 5 out of 10 is a movie.
I'm not worried. I just want to get ahead of people who come at you and go, but I liked it. And it's like, great. I'm happy for you. I am. I'm just saying. Don't care. So
are the Scream fans like super defensive? I mean, they're no Halloween fans.
Well, they'll find
experience.
You in your city, stalk you, and kill you. I will say this. The whole time we would get, so Skeet Ulrich would appear in Samantha's lucid dreams.
And you're like, whoa, it's Johnny Depp.
Oh, yeah, no. Well, it was worse than that. I was like, whoa, it's a computer-generated Skeet Ulrich. But I think it was just him. Skeet Ulrich looks like a computer-generated Skeet Ulrich. I'm not joking. Didn't he look computer-generated to you, or did he look like a person?
I think they might have added some de-aging to him. Like, there's something that seemed off. Not enough wrinkles. But, like, it was definitely him. Like, you could tell it was him, but I think they did a little de-aging.
No, if you, can look always... at his picture now, real-life pictures of him? Eerie. Like, I mean, I know Courtney Cox wishes she had some of that Skeet Ulrich DNA, because...
No, you'll have to show me an example. Do you have a link?
No, I'm just surfing through his IMDb. He looks really good. He looks great. He looks like you know.
Here's him from 2017.
He looks fucking fabulous. Look at that guy.
No, he does look good. I mean, he looks better than Johnny Depp. Let's be real here.
Yeah.
But I think like the wrinkled brow, I think they took that out. Like, I think there is a little bit of de-aging.
I don't know, but I will say, you know, I've given Courtney Cox, I've ribbed her a little bit in the past, and I want to apologize for that. That's me being jealous, you know? I'm sure she doesn't care, but if she does, I just want to say I'm sorry, Courtney. You look beautiful, and you know what? That's not the most important part about you, and I don't think it's fair. You bring that up all the time because you're all these surgeries you've had. There was a moment in this in the call tracing when they were tracing the call, and it just felt like that. I can't get this scene from Jurassic Park out of my head where it's a Unix system. I know this.
Right.
It was a very Unix system.
Well, I love how it's still a trope in movies where it's like, oh, we got to get the trace. And in this movie, they're trying to, like, go against that of, like, no, I only need, like, 14 seconds.
Yeah.
And as if, like, that's just a trope in movies. I can actually figure it out within seconds. It's like, no, that's also false. You can know that immediately. Like, there's no waiting time for call tracing, you know? It's like, everyone has a Find My Friends, you know? It's not like, like, the, sorry to say, but... technology companies are tracking you all the time, and your location data is like sent over the information. So if you're a cop, I don't think there's such a thing as call tracing. Like, keep him on the line. Oh no, he hung up with 1 second to spare. We have no idea where he is.
Yeah, I mean, the cell phone tower that you're connected to, and usually, especially if you're in New York City, there's multiple. So
right.
And the GPS tracker in your phone on top of that. Using these four data points, we are able to know exactly where you are at all times. Anyway, that was a kind of interesting moment. Well, anyway, you know what? It turns out to be it's three people. It's three people. It's the unassuming guy who they assumed it was.
Mm-hmm.
It's his dad, played by that fella that you were... Not Dylan McDermott, the other
Dermot
one.
Mulroney.
Dermot Mulroney. And their sex-positive daughter, his sex-positive daughter, the Strawberry Blonde,
mm-hmm.
Who I lovingly refer to as the Strawberry Blonde.
Right.
And they're angry at the Carpenter sisters for killing their other son / brother in Scream 2022. Three people. Can you believe it?
Yeah.
Wow. It's really, it hits hard.
It's pretty thick.
So, it was them the whole time. And they would have gotten away with it, too, if it wasn't for you kids and their stupid dog. I don't know. How'd this
I mean, it was a pretty good reveal. Like, I'm not going to lie. Like, they did a pretty good job of misdirecting with a lot of it.
Yeah.
Especially with the girl.
Yeah, when you learn that the rules are completely out the window, you can kill a character and still have them be alive. Well, then anything's on the table. It right. truly could be a shark.
Yeah.
A Jossam shark. A street shark. It's Jocelyn. If you guys haven't checked out our shorts over on YouTube or TikTok, they're pretty fun, I think.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got to say, like, it begins strong, it ends strong. It's just the middle part that's does not have enough, you know, set pieces. Like, there's huge blank spaces just right from right at the beginning to, I don't know, it felt like halfway. Nothing really happened between the opening scene and halfway. I was falling asleep during the movie, and I saw it at, like, I went to the 12:40 p.m. showing. It was like in the middle of the afternoon.
He
and
says
I was
that
like,
to impress you, but if you know old millennials, you know that you know that's nap time. You know,
hey,
that's the time when he's actually most likely to fall asleep anyway.
Yeah. So. Again, like, I don't know if even by the end of this movie we're super on board with the new cast of, like, oh, these are the four people that we're going to care about for the next couple movies. Like, I don't know.
Yeah.
You could also just change them out with faceless people, you know? I don't know. Does Samantha seem like a super compelling protagonist, or does it feel like, to me, it feels kind of tacked on? Of
I'm
like,
the wrong guy. This is the thing. This movie is not for me. You need to ask somebody who's like, this is a 9 out of 10. I loved it, because that's the person who you gotta impress. And I think actually they did a really good job. Like, in terms of playing to the people who want to see this, I think they're on the right track. Given Scream 2022 and 2023, this is teeing up for a much better reboot than the Halloween series got, you know? I think it's more promising anyway.
A reboot.
Hey, do you want to pull up the voicemail line so we can get some of these calls going? And then I will intro our next bit. Our final recommendation, mine is, like, if you're a big fan of the Scream series, I think this is kind of a hole-in-one. If you're not, you could probably skip it. It is a slasher. But it's a pretty good modern slasher. So, yeah, you know, check it out if that sounds like a thing for you. Now, we are going to be getting into our bit for the show, horror movie...
Whore.
Yeah, horror movie whores. This is a little bit, whoa, hey. This is a little bit where we play your voicemails that you leave us. If you call us at 682-253-4468, and I think we're going all the way back to January 30th, maybe?
Okay, so we're starting for the oldest ones on this one?
Yeah, that's a good point. That's a good point, Bryce. We should, you should start at the newest and go and do five.
Okay.
Yeah.
So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Okay. Actually, let me start from February 27th.
Okay.
And we'll do 6.
You do you, okay. Boo.
All right, here we go.
Horror movie talk.
Hey, boys, it's Joey Z Mike giving you guys a call, telling you guys the show is fantastic, still loving it. Don't change a goddamn thing. It's amazing. I will say that I have seen Jeepers Creepers 4, a.k.a. Jeepers Creepers Reborn. And it is so bad. So bad that I'd rather get a root canal before the invention of Novocaine than sit through that movie twice.
Oof.
Anyways, just trying to give you guys a heads up. I do have two questions. First one's for David Day. David, do you still talk to Babyface Billy? And the second question is for Bryce. Since you guys are actually located in Canada, have you guys stumbled across, like, a movie set during the filming ever, or possibly like an extra in the background?
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, just wondering. I'll talk to you guys later. Bye.
Yeah, so Jersey Mike made a very understandable mistake.
Well, you answer yours and I'll answer mine.
Yeah. Okay, so first of all, sorry to hear about Jeepers Creepers. I have heard this. I think that's Reborn. I have heard that that slasher reboot, not so great. So, yeah, I've heard some people say some bad things about that Jeepers Creepers. His question was, do I still talk to Babyface Billy? Yeah, my other show, Hotline and Advice Podcast, is now defunct. It is no longer going because y'all wouldn't listen to it. So we had to stop. But I actually just talked to Babyface Billy a couple days ago. He was very upset that he wasn't nominated for Best Guest in our Talkies episode. And I said, but Billy, you weren't in any of the shows in 2022. And to which he said, fuck you. And I should have won. And I said, but you won the previous year. And he was very upset about it.
Right.
So yeah, I still talk to him, and he's one of my favorite people. I like him a lot.
I gotta say, like, yeah, the Hotlines show didn't end up being super successful, but I saw on Patreon that we actually got a listener to Horror Movie Talk from Hotlines.
Yeah,
which is the craziest thing in the world to me. I mean, not crazy. Like, well,
thank you.
I can't understand how that would happen.
It's a nice thing for you to say.
It just seems very, you'd assume that it would go the other way, you know?
No,
you
would.
So thank you for having Hotlines to bringing in more listeners to Horror Movie Talk, David.
No, yeah, absolutely. And, no, in terms of being an enjoyable show to make, that was one of the funnest experiences, year and a half of my life. Just the calls we would get and the letters we would get were absolutely insane. Insane, yeah. People like, just like, I fucked my brother's dog, what do I do? And it's like, like, yeah. What are you talking about? So yeah, crazy show, but not anymore.
Yeah. And in answer to your question, yes, we do live in Vancouver, Washington, which is in Canada, and they're constantly filming. Like, I can't walk out of my door without tripping over a movie set. And in fact, in the 90s, Gillian Anderson was filming X-Files all the time here, and actually stayed at my house for a while, and we had a romance. But I don't, you know, want to kiss and tell about that.
Yeah, no, actually, it was interesting. You might have seen this. I was listening to a song by a band called Soft Kill. They're kind of like a loving homage to Joy Division. They're new, and they're out of Portland. And this is a music video for their song Pretty Face.
Yeah.
Was all shot in Vancouver. Like, and when I started watching it, it's just shots up. It's just shots at the tips of trees, the tops of trees. And I was like, I know those trees. You know, I was like, what the fuck? Like, I was just sitting there like, what's happening? I backed it up and replayed it real slow, and I caught the name of a street that I'm very familiar with, and I was like, fucking no way. And yeah, so I was interested in that moment for me.
So they're from Portland, and they shot the video like 6 hours away in Vancouver, Washington.
Yep.
Okay, next caller.
Hey, it's Robert the Farter. So I was just listening to your As Above, So Below review, and Bryce, you said, you were talking about Mandy, and you said that it was, like, the only movie that had a chainsaw duel, but you're forgetting about Texas Chainsaw Massacre 2, which actually has one of the coolest chainsaw battles in it, I think. And, but the main reason I wanted to call was because... So I was thinking about some old shows that traumatized me as a kid, and I was thinking mostly about Are You Afraid of the Dark? Mm. I'm guessing you guys grew up with that, or have at least seen it.
Yeah.
I'm younger than when that came out, but as a kid, my dad showed me all of the things he watched as a kid. So, like, He-Man, Inspector Gadget, stuff like that. So just older stuff. But I was just wondering if you guys remembered any Are You Afraid of the Darks? Or if you remember any other TV shows you watched as a kid that had one episode that just messed you up. Because everybody has one. So just let me know. And also if it was just as traumatizing to you as it was to me, especially this one episode of Are You Afraid of the Dark called The Tale of Laughing in the Dark, which is about this kid who wants to prove that he's brave, so he goes into a fun house and takes this clown animatronic's nose and has to bring it back to these other kids, and the clown comes to life. And it, like, really, really affected me. So, anyways, just if you have any of those, thanks. It's Robert the Farter.
Yeah, I mean, I grew up with Are You Afraid of the Dark? I think I don't know. So, here's the thing. Are You Afraid of the Dark was on Nick at Night.
Yeah.
An important series of cartoons and shows.
Have you watched that Hulu doc about Nickelodeon?
No.
Oh, man. You want some member berries, buddy. It's a fucking spectacular doc, anyway.
But yeah, Are You Afraid of the Dark was played... I mean, Nick at Night was kind of a precursor for Adult Swim. Like,
oh, yeah.
It was kind of on the edge. Like, it had Ren and Stimpy. It had, like, a couple weird cartoons, and then had Are You Afraid of the Dark. Are You Afraid of the Dark occupies the same space in my mind as Goosebumps, where it's like,
yeah,
I really wanted to like it, and the setup is setting it up to be like something very good, and then the ending is always just the most eye rolling thing. Even as a kid, I was like, seriously? And I think deep down I just always wanted the kids to be slain in a horrible, horrible murder.
Right.
And it's always like, and it's actually the clown's very nice. He just wanted to give the guy a hug.
They just wanted to scare normal kids. They weren't suspecting your deep-seated hatred.
Right.
Yeah.
I was like looking up from dissecting squirrels, and I was like, oh, this is actually kind of scary. And then it ended, and I'm like, oh.
Yeah,
I wanted to see his entrails, and it's just, you know, whatever.
Alicia Cuthbert got her start in Are You Afraid of the Dark?
Oh, really?
Yeah, yeah. You'll know her from, you know, House of Wax and Love Actually.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, got her start over there. Yeah,
yeah. I think the ones that were traumatizing for me actually were, like, the actual horror ones or, like, on other shows that I didn't expect, like, a scary episode to be on. So, like, I mean, I watched It around the same time, and that was actually pretty scary. And then, like, I think we've mentioned before my love of Quantum Leap.
Yeah.
And there was an episode of Quantum Leap that was really scary.
Mm-hmm.
That stuck with me.
Yeah. I mean, Nickelodeon. Yeah, this is why this documentary on Hulu is so interesting, is because Nickelodeon really, with no budget, you know, like revitalized, like, first of all, like back in the early 80s, built kids programming. Like,
uh-huh.
Really fucking actually paid attention to kids on TV with no budget. And just like a guess that this was something that could work. And then, like kind of birthed commercialization of peddling toys to kids, you know?
Right.
Like it's an impressive thing that they did. And then they were the underdog the entire time, like entire time. And just had really impressive leadership and really commendable goals. And yeah, it was a great network.
Well, I remember growing up, there was two cable channels for kids. There was, like, Disney and Nickelodeon.
Yeah.
And
well, Disney didn't have one until they realized, until they saw Nickelodeon doing it, I think. I might be wrong on that. But
I think the Disney Channel was around for a while, but it was always more family-friendly. It was all like, oh, it's for the family. It's family
Yeller.
Entertainment. And Nickelodeon was, like, literally like, you know what kids like? Fart jokes and slime.
Well, it goes even earlier than that. It's like 81, 2, 3, something like that, you know, was when it kind of got its start. But yeah, no, you're right. They were competing on a different level and thinking about something that no one really else was. Yeah, so yeah, next call.
Hey, Bryce and David, this is Victor from Oklahoma calling you. once again. So I'm looking to start a podcast with a friend of mine. I was just wondering if you guys had any recommendations, like equipment to use, or like how you guys record your show, or just any like tips for some beginners like ourselves starting out. Anything would be greatly appreciated. You guys are some sexy bastards, so I'll catch you later.
Well, yeah, I'll tell you. All, you know what?
First of all,
I think
get
we
the
should
fuck out of here, guy. You think you're gonna come in here compete with the big dog? Is that what you think? You're dead
David
wrong.
David turning into Daniel Plainview.
We're gonna fucking crush you. All right.
You're making the mistake of going from a listener to a competitor.
Yeah.
And you want advice on how to compete,
buddy? I'm going to make it my business to see that your whole family goes down. All right. No. I hope you do well. And my advice would just be to do it. Just start doing it. You know, come up with a good plan that you would want to listen to, and then do it. Fail. I don't know.
Yeah.
Bryce
in terms
is, Bryce
of equipment,
is opinionated in this, but I really think you should just do it. Go, Bryce.
Well, he's asking about specific like equipment recommendations. Like,
yeah, I don't care.
I'm more of the equipment guy for the podcast, and I'll tell you, like, there's any number of ways you can do it. The most important thing is having a mic per person, and
yeah,
depending on whether you're doing it in person or remotely will determine, like, what you need. But I'll say the thing that's worked for us, I have a mixer. It allows you to play a lot of different sounds and do stuff simultaneously in a more live way. It has its issues too, but for the most part, I like having a mixer. I use the Model 12, Tascam Model 12, which was kind of a necessity when we were recording live in person. But it's more of a nice to have. What you really need is just an audio interface, so something maybe like a Scarlett Focusrite kind of thing. But I like. There's two options. You can either do just an audio interface that just allows you to plug in a mic to the computer, or you can do a mixer, which does the same thing a lot of the time, depending on the features. But you can also route back audio from your computer or insert audio from different things. But it really depends on your budget. Maybe...
You know, there's
send us a message on Instagram or something. I'll respond to you with more detail. But
yeah,
you know, we should probably just include like a Amazon affiliate links for the equipment that we use. Like that's always like a curiosity for people.
Yeah. No, that's a good point. And then also like there's the possibility. So we use a long distance browser based recording software called Riverside. And we like it a lot. And there might be a way for us to you might get a deal if we can recommend it to you or something like that. I don't know if Riverside has something like that, but we'll look into it. And So hit us up if you want to. Look, a lot of people have made podcasts who listen to the show, and we'd like to support them and make sure that they can continue to to try and make it because it's fun. So
yeah, I'll tell you what. Here's the thing. I'll tell you what not to worry and what to worry about. Like, what you got to figure out first is what you want to do. Like, what audio do you want to play, when and how much you want to do in post-production, and that will determine what equipment you have. And then I'll just say, like, common pitfall. It really, to me, in my opinion, it does not matter how expensive your mic is. Like, you can use a pretty cheap mic, and it's going to sound pretty good depending on your mic technique.
Yeah, some people use the little inline mics with their headphones, and it sounds pretty good.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's things... You don't have to spend a ton of money, but there's, like, a certain threshold to where you want to... I mean, honestly, you should be spending a couple $100 on equipment.
Yeah, you could do it for $200, $250 and be very good. So.
Yeah.
Next call.
Hey guys, it's Elizabeth. Just calling because I had a question for y'all. Somebody asked a really interesting question on Reddit the other day. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the best saga in terms of horror movies? Like what saga has the best movies were in terms of they're all solid movies, if that makes sense.
Jaws.
So, for example, like the Evil Dead series, I think every single movie is a solid movie. Not one of them is bad. Even the first one, I think it's amazing. And I'm just curious to see what your answer is to that question. I also think the Final Destination movies are pretty solid. They're all pretty much the same, but they're still solid movies, even if they are those goofy, bad movies. They're still pretty enjoyable. But, yeah, just want to see what you guys say. All right, bye.
Love Elizabeth. I haven't heard from her in a little bit. Yeah, what do you think?
I mean, it's weird. It depends on, like, what you are looking for. Because if you're looking for, like, a setup that is reusable infinitely, yeah, I mean, you can go Final Destination or Saw. It's like, it's just a reiteration of you know, the same thing, and it's just a bunch of set pieces that you can string together. In terms of, like, movies that are stand on their own, or can be, like, maintain your interest outside of the gimmick, it gets a little harder. I don't know. I don't think I can really identify many horror sagas that I've seen all of them. All the ones that I've seen a lot of entries on, like, seem to have hugely varying quality. I get the sense that maybe Child's Play would be a really strong contender for that. And it, I think, like, Nightmare on Elm Street, you would think would be a strong contender, but it's not.
Yeah.
Like, I think their movies are trail off really bad. So I don't know. I don't feel like very confident in the answer that I can give there. I think I just prefer one off movies, to be honest.
For me, it's pretty easy. You know, depending on, I mean, so Alien, first of all, I really like, I went back and watched Alien 3 even the other day. I was like, yeah, this is, I like this. You know, I just dig it. I just dig the lore. I dig the concept. And then also, I don't know if you count it as horror, but I really, really enjoy the Predator movies. So Aliens and Predators, not Aliens versus Predators. Those are excluded. So that's my answer.
Next. I'm just looking at horror franchises.
Well, think about it while we play this next call.
Yeah, well, you'll have to wait because I'm the one playing it, aren't I?
Yes.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I think Evil Dead, I think that's the easiest one to point to. Evil Dead's probably, of the ones that I've seen multiple of, like, that seems like the strongest. Or straight ahead, like, this has the same quality as the original pretty consistently. All right, moving on. Sorry.
Yes, this is Sam from Indianapolis. I just wanted to call because I'm listening to your talkies. And I got to say, you guys really fucked up. Buffy the Vampire Slayer is a great movie. You guys are just kind of dicks sometimes. It's okay, though. My pick for best movie of the year is Barbarian. All right, talk to you guys later. Bye-bye.
Yeah, someone, who was it on Instagram that was saying, like, she was bummed that we scored Buffy so low. I got to say, like, I really wanted to like Buffy a lot.
Yeah, go back and watch, like, Buffy.
It has a huge, like, nostalgia piece of my heart. If
go
you turn off that
it,
nostalgia
though,
and watch it, it's not as great as you remember. It's very charming. It's got a great cast. It's fun, but it's not great. It's
just
like
go,
not good.
Yeah, just go.
It's
watch
got
it.
A lot of good moments in it, but it's
watch
not
it
like.
And see if you say the same thing. I just don't think you will. Yeah, it was Isla on Instagram.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's all. It's you know. It's hey. It's fun.
Yeah.
It's got a lot of hotties in it. I really like that. And it's not.
Yeah, like Luke Perry.
Paul Reubens.
All right, last caller for today.
Who we got?
Hey, good evening, boys. It's Dick Mancrease. Hope you both are doing well. Yo, I was listening to the talkies, catching up on that. Great show, as always. So, Silence of the Lambs, I thought it was pretty crazy, was one of only three films to have won all five major awards for, like, best actor, best supporting actor, best screenplay, best picture, and then whatever else the other one was. I don't really give a shit about award shows, man. I mostly just care about the one that matters, you know, the talkies. Anyway, love you, boys. Take care.
Did you catch what he was talking about?
I didn't catch what movie he was talking about. Here, let's see if we can catch it.
Show, as always. So, Silence of the Lambs, I thought it was pretty...
Silence of the Lambs.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Silence of the Lambs was one of... Like, it's the exception that proves the rule, right?
Yeah.
It's like, horror movies don't win awards.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, Silence of the Lambs is the only one.
Right.
So, yeah. No, good point. I love Dick Mancrease. Thanks for calling in.
I love the auto transcription.
Rachel, as always.
Hey, good evening, boys. This is Dick Man, Chris.
He's catching up on that, Rachel, as always. Catching up on that, great show, as always. He's catching up on that, Rachel, as always. Yeah.
So it's not going. Yeah, let's just read this whole thing.
Yeah.
Hey, good evening, boys. This is Dick Man, Chris. Hope you both are doing well. Yo, I was listening to talk. He's catching up on that Rachel, as always. So it's not going to land. I thought it was pretty crazy as one of the three films to have won all five major awards for, like, best actor, that supporting actor, that screenplay, best picture. Bye.
Bye. Yeah. Yeah, Google Translate. I mean, you know, they're in this I got to say, you know, they're in the runnings for this AI, you know, you know, AI race with ChatGPT and, you know, Bing, which is actually losing its mind, like some weird twisted version of the show reboot from the 90s. But Google Translate can't even handle Dick Mancrease, who doesn't seem to have any accent at all. Even if you're from some place that doesn't speak English, he has no accent. Mm-hmm. So, anyway.
All right. Well, that's Horror Movie Horrors. We'll see you on the flippity-floppity. We're going to record a separate episode for the rest of the voicemails.
Yeah. Should you? I think we should Adrian Brody it out, you know? We should just leave on that note.
Okay.
If he's ever mentioned again, we need to...
Why don't you get our start saying the outro stuff? And all
So yeah, thank you for listening. We appreciate you. Thanks for supporting the show. It is a free show, and we do have a lot of bills to pay. So any support that you can send our way, we sure do appreciate. And Dot from A Bug's Life appreciates it too. You know, click through that Amazon link, support us on Patreon, call us at 682-253-4468. We love you. Have a great week. And remember, Adrian Brody.